Good morning. My name is Gladys Kober, and our presentation is about developing a high school curriculum, the crossroads of science and faith, astronomy with a Christian worldview. So we are three authors. I work in astronomy as a data analyst at NASA. I'm also adjunct faculty at Montgomery College. Susan Bennett is also an astronomer, and she works as an associate research scientist at Planetary Science Institute. And Paula Gossard works as an associate professor at Kane University. We also have contribution from many professional astronomers who did final revisions of the astronomy chapters in this textbook. The motivation that inspired our work was to help prepare high school students to the challenges they will face at secular universities. Statistics show that a large fraction of students who claim to be Christians abandon their faith during college years. And of course, there are many reasons for that, but perceived conflicts between science and faith certainly play an important role. Also, the number of students being homeschooled in the U.S. has clearly risen over the past decades. By now, we probably have more than 2 million students being homeschooled in the U.S. So there's a need to reach out to this community. The target of our project is mainly Christian homeschool, but also some Christian schools. The goals of our project, to create a textbook to teach astronomy as a discipline, but also teach science faith issues, is a whole year curriculum for high school students to bridge the gap between rigorous scientific preparation, but a textbook that's not empty of God. Give students the tools to prepare them to better relate what they believe with what they learn about science. Equip students to defend their faith with confidence and sound reasoning. Strengthen and encourage the students' faith with evidence of design, and also inspire them with many interviews with Christian professional astronomers. We also would like to encourage more Christian students to embrace scientific careers. So we believe there are three important components of a solid Christian education: the scientific information that should be reliable, updated, accurate, and complete; a sound relationship between science and faith that should promote dialogue with some degree of integration; and also a Christian worldview, God presented as the creator, the designer, and the intelligence behind it all. If we look at the materials we have right now for the Christian homeschool, they are excellent in providing the Christian worldview, but unfortunately they fail terribly in the scientific information. Scientific information is often inaccurate, incomplete, and not reliable, neither updated. Also, they fail on the second element, not bringing a sound relationship between science and faith. Many times there is a perceived conflict. If we look at secular materials, they're excellent on the first element, bringing great scientific information, very reliable and updated. Sometimes they try to bring some dialogue. Sometimes they are silent concerning the relationship between science and faith, and sometimes there is a perceived conflict. Concerning worldview, sometimes they are neutral, but sometimes they do introduce a naturalistic worldview that comes mixed together with the scientific information. So our goal is to present a textbook that will be strong in these three elements. Some details about our project. We are using softwares that graphic designers, professional graphic designers use. InDesign for book layout, Illustrator for illustrations. I had to become a graphic designer as well. We used many illustrations. Some illustrations were done by a professional graphic designer that helped us with 30 illustrations. Others were done by our team. We had some cartoons. Final revisions were done by astronomers specialized in the topic. We are self-publishing. We have a temporary website with information about our project, but very soon we're going to have a professional website tailored to reach out to the homeschool community. So here are examples of some of our illustrations, more of our illustrations, some of our cartoons. Book outline. Our textbook has two parts. Part one is mainly an introduction to science faith issues. We have five chapters. These chapters are loaded with exercises, many exercises for discussions in groups. We're coming back soon with more details about these five chapters of part one. The second part is to teach astronomy as a discipline. We have 24 chapters, and some of them have a special session on science faith. For example, history of astronomy, we can learn from mistakes of the past. Cosmology, the search for extraterrestrial life, and a universe fine-tuned for life. These chapters have a special session on science faith. So going back to part one, Introduction to Science Faith. The first chapter is Science and Worldviews. In this chapter, students learn to discern the difference between worldviews and scientific information. And of course, when a scientist is expressing his personal belief or worldview, that of course does not carry the same weight as when a scientist is speaking about scientific information of his expertise. Chapter 2, Science and Faith, Two Approaches for Understanding the World. In this chapter, we bring definitions about science and faith, their realms, scientific method, critical thinking, the search for truth, both from a scientific and religious standpoint, science and theology as human activities. So here we have sample exercises. I have to be very quickly, so I'll choose just one, the second. C.S. Lewis defined faith as the art of holding to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. For moods will change whatever view your reason takes. According to C.S. Lewis, what's the role of reason in having faith? Chapter 3, Science and Faith, Four Interactions. This chapter presents four views on the relationship between science and faith: conflict, independence, dialogue, and integration. And of course, we encourage the students toward dialogue and integration. Sample exercise. Recent discoveries in molecular biology have led scientists to claim that part of our brain is wired for religious experience. I'm skipping some parts just because we don't have much time. Molecular biologist Dean Hammer not only claims that human spirituality is an adaptive trait, but also that he has located a gene responsible for spirituality. So when discoveries like that are announced, people respond in different ways. Which of the four views is expressed in each of the following responses? For example, if you look at the end of response C, our religious experiences are throughoutly explained as a result of brain activity. Of course, that's the conflict, either one or the other. If we go to A, science can tell us new things about the circuits of the brain, but it tells us nothing new about God and religious experience. They simply do not interact. That's independence. Okay, in the middle of the answer D, which came first, God or the need for God? In other words, did God create us wired for religious experience, or did we create God because our genes programmed us to do so? So when we start making questions like this, that's the dialogue. And answer B, if human beings were created by God, wouldn't it make sense to expect that our bodies include a gene that would enable us to contemplate our maker? That's integration. Chapter 4, Exposing the Conflict, Science, Christians, and Human Attitudes. So in this chapter, we question certain attitudes, immature attitudes on both parts, that bring apparent conflict between science and faith. Examples of some attitudes that we question: prejudice, dishonesty, arrogance, science as a religion when science is being worshipped, unethical misuse of science, attempting to fit God into a box, cherishing tradition over truth, fear of knowledge, and a few others. Unfortunately, I don't think we have time for the sample exercise. Chapter 5, Tips and Tools for Making Sound Arguments. In this chapter, we present a guide to making solid arguments, avoiding common pitfalls, informal fallacies, and defending faith with sound reasoning. Some examples of the informal fallacies: ad hominem, straw man, begging the question. We bring many examples where we see these fallacies in the context of science faith debate. So here is a sample of an astronomy chapter that is ready. Okay, it's a chapter about starburst. Chapter ends with key concepts, vocabulary, and two interviews by professional astronomers specialized in the topic. In these interviews, the astronomers share about their work and they also share about their faith and give advice to students. Exercise at the end. And I would like to finish with future challenges. Our project is very close to completion, and now we move toward the next phase, which is marketing. We need to reach out to the homeschool community and Christian schools, and we need help for that, and also to organize workshops for moms homeschool. We also plan to do translation and maybe in the future develop another one for middle school. I would like to finish with two challenges. One challenge for other Christian professional scientists in other fields to develop similar materials for homeschool. And I would like to leave a challenge for institutions and ministries to support financially the production of educational materials on science faith. To produce a textbook like this is an enormous time commitment. It took us 4 years, and because we are working only on our spare time. If somebody had hired me, I would have taken just a year or less. So there is a real need for institutions and ministries to hire people, even if it's part-time, to produce educational materials like that. That's it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for a really clear talk, really nice talk, and a wonderful achievement to do this in your spare time. It's just a huge amount of work.
It is.
David. I think it's just brilliant. I'm interested in why it's self-published. Is that because some of the Christian publishers won't take something like this, or you wanted more editorial control?
Yeah, there are many reasons. There are many reasons we are self-publishing. First, because nowadays it's very easy, and it's even quicker. Publisher also, they take their time. They also want to change the title, want to change some of the content. We would like to have more control. We also, we don't want a publisher to have the copyrights, because we also want to invest in translation in other languages. And we want to invest the money in translation, in organizing workshops, in producing another textbook. So we wanted to invest also, have more control and to invest. That's the reason we are self-publishing.
Are you anticipating that states will ban the book?
Well, since it's material for homeschool, I don't think there's much control of the materials at homeschool. And since it's much better than some younger creationists, I mean, if you look at the scientific part done by so many professional astronomers and so many professional astronomers involved in this project doing final revisions, I don't think that would happen.
One more question.
Sorry?
Is the book published already?
We are very close to completion. We need just a few more months to finish a few more chapters. Just that. Just a few more months and we'll be able to publish it.
I have a similar book which I will show you, not as detailed, but anyway, we'll have a good conversation.
Okay.
Well, there's more questions, I know, so if you see Gladys afterwards, let's thank Gladys. A really good talk and a good project. Thank you.